So we are talking about the inner journey this morning. And the inner journey, which is the big thing that's really happening in our lives, along with the outer journey, which is what we're mostly present with by default. We're present with our outer journey. It's in our face all the time. But we can wonder where we are on our life journey. We can have ideas about where we should be by now, who we should be, what we should have by now. You can have ideas, big ones, and they can change, but you can sit and wonder. But God has big ideas for another journey. And he's very interested in the outer journey. In fact, that's the scenery, that's the landscape for the pathway. So when we do look at external features of all of this, the outer journey, there can be disappointments. There can be discontent. Where is life going for me? But that's all a matter of degree. I mean, it's not like, oh, it's always, oh, why is life happening? No, no. Life goes on for us. There can be maybe just one or two things that are a real concern at the moment. Not the whole life. But nonetheless, you can still be asking the questions. What's going on? What's happening? Sometimes it's an illness that's happening. Or it could be that you're carrying something for somebody you care for about their journey. I know there would be people here this morning that are asking questions because they are really involved spiritually and at a heart level with somebody else's journey, both outer and inner. And you know that you can be partners with them on the inner journey. There may be things you can do to help them in their circumstances, but you can certainly be there for the thing that God is doing on that journey. And sometimes when there's a crisis, and God watches as the crisis gets set up, because he's there at these particular times. He prepares the paths. It's not so much that he's always setting up the crisis as it is. It's not just, well, I'm going to set up a crisis for you. I mean, he's there and he can see things and he knows that things are about to happen. Sometimes he can put a challenge in us that does be to us that does become the crisis. But it's often that we make our own crises. We set ourselves up. I've done that. That can be financial or relational, or you find that you're in a jam, or it can be the will of other people. You set up a crisis, and that crisis can change your life. God's there. An inner journey can start. I got shot in the hand. Biggest crisis I'd ever had in my life. It changed everything. God intervenes graciously in the process. We are at any time right where God has us on his inner journey of completeness. That's where he's taking us. And that really leads somewhere. To give us new hope, to bring about his abundant life, which we think on the outside, perhaps at the time, it's not so abundant. What's going on? But he starts where we are, with who we are, with what we have and what we're doing. I want to talk about receiving faith from God at that time today, to seek him and find him in it. We know if we seek you, you promised that we'd see your face. It was that crisis that I had when I prayed really for the very first time the kind of prayer that really gave me a witness that I actually connected with God. And the prayer was, God, please help. Please take this away. I had this terrible kind of visitation of darkness, and my hand was injured. It was in the middle of the night, and he came, intervened, and he was waiting for that time. And I didn't know what was coming next. It was just a bad time. But he knew. And I was in my 30s, early 30s. And I think, why couldn't this have happened when I was 15 or 16 and I could have had you guiding me to here? And God says, it's all right, you're on a path. I got you. I got you when I got you. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, which is a scripture that I believe is such an important one for every person in history, every person in the earth. And Paul speaks to the people in Athens that are unbelievers. They're Greeks, religious people, but with gods, but they don't know the God of creation and incarnation in Christ. They just don't know. They're looking for an unknown God. And Paul says to them about God and about Jesus, it says, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. He has determined their pre-appointed times. Now that word times is not chronos, it's not the calendar, the clock. Well, that would be involved in it. It is kairos, and we spoke last week about redeeming time. There's God's time, which is kairos, when he brings his eternal movement of life and flow of grace, which lasts forever. He does something in his kairos time, the appointed time for God. Whereas when we do things in calendar time, chronos time, those things pass away, they become memories, but kairos time is eternal. And so he has determined their pre-appointed kairos times for him and the boundaries of their dwellings. You are where you are right now. In God's time. So that, why does he do this? He has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might search for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Colloquialism, which means he is actually there right with every single one of us. And things happen in a pre-appointed time of God, whatever it might be, so that we will search for him and find him and hopefully call upon his name and be saved. He's a big God. That's powerful to me. It speaks to me. And then he begins to move within our heart to go with him on a journey. To search for him, to find him. And we can simply call upon him at any time. Because we're on that journey all the time. The thing is, the outer journey can sometimes be such a distraction that we forget that there's an inner journey. But it's a matter of seeking for him. and finding him on the inner journey. So the ones that we prayed for today, ones that were sick, the Bible says the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Even though our body may be getting frail and we're waiting for the recovery time, what is happening on the inner is that it is being renewed day by day. It's the inner journey I'm talking about today. It's the abundant life. What is abundant life? I remember it would have been 20 years ago, I would say. A lady that we knew, I'm not going to mention names, but her husband was injured very badly. The lives were turned upside down. And she came to me and just looked me full in the face and said, "So what happened to the abundant life?" My first thought was, well, I wonder what you've been taught about abundant life. Do you know that abundant life is an inner thing? I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. That is his life. And I wondered whether she'd been told that abundant life meant just getting blessings everywhere you go and a dream run on the rails and nothing going wrong. That's what the world seeks after. But there's an abundant life in the midst of things going wrong and in crisis that becomes a reality like never before. I'd never understood abundant life. I didn't even know there was a word, abundant life, when I got saved. But I certainly felt an abundance of life when I cried out to God, and the inner life began, and everything changed. That lady now knows what abundant life is. I'm saying this because she got in touch with me on one of those social media things through the week. And she spoke about a beautiful companionship she has with. She didn't say relationship. She was using a stronger word. She said companionship. Her husband's still not fully recovered. But she recalibrated her meaning of abundant life, and she's just full of abundant life and blessing people. She works in helping other people in recovery, things like that. God met her in the strangest place. He was there to intervene in that circumstance, and he moves our heart to go with him. In Ephesians chapter 2, here's another scripture, verse 10, from the Amplified Bible. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do those things which he planned beforehand," predestined, "for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." That is why faith is such an extraordinary gift from God, because it's by faith that you engage with that life, with that reality. You begin to walk motivated, not pushed into things from what circumstances are doing, but inspired into things by what the Holy Spirit's doing on the inside. He just keeps doing it. Now, we do get pushed by things, but we can get pushed into God. We can have our ideas about how our life should go, but God has his complete idea. See, what he's going to complete you in is not your career so much. He's going to complete you in your transformation into his likeness. That's his agenda. That's his goal. That's what success means. If you would like to rewrite and recalibrate what success means, that's it. Just like what does abundant life mean? That's it. If we're Christians, we get it. At least we get the message. Then it's a matter of believing it. And it's a perfect idea that God's got. And the challenge is that we trust in God rather than our own strength. You can't make yourself a great Christian. You've just got to become as dependent as a child, but absolutely confident. Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. He didn't need confidence in the flesh. Because he said, we are of those who serve God in the spirit, not in the flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, Paul speaks about how athletes compete to obtain a temporary crown. He said they discipline themselves in order that they might obtain a crown. But they obtain a perishable crown, one that's temporary, whereas we obtain an imperishable crown. We've got something that lasts forever, but there's still an effort. There's a commitment. There's a devotion. There's an attitude. To put your heart and strength into the thing that you aspire to. And either get grabbed by that or you don't. You say, right, this is worth going for. There's an inner life. There's an abundance. Now, if athletes can do it, put their heart and strength into, look at what they go through to win a perishable crown, even more so us. I've been in the habit of watching Manly Sea Eagles play football for many years. And I've been faithful. A faithful follower. But they've lost the football competition this year. They've just lost it. No way. And in fact, I was reading about them, the latest report. They no longer see that as a long-term goal for success for this year, winning the competition. You know what their goal is? Not be getting the wooden spoon, not becoming the absolute losers. That's their new goal. And you think, well, that's a bit of a change. And so they recalibrated their kind of future prospect. But I was impressed by the report that I read about them. Because after their losses, which were pretty dramatic, the coach gave them a good talking to, and then they got together on their own and began to speak to one another. And they said in the press report, we can't walk away from this. We're wearing the Guernsey. What are we here for? And they said, we're going to say that success for us now means winning a game. And I was thinking, if you'd have said that at the beginning, you'd have won the competition. But you know, you've got a Guernsey on, you get paid money, you get sponsorship, there's a whole lot of things happening. But hang on, aren't we supposed to be winning games? Aren't we supposed to be winning a game? They had to rethink. And it said that they didn't only make their goal winning a game, but they said they became totally honest about how badly they were playing. Coach wasn't there. They just had an honesty session. They then reported that the fact that they had such an honesty session about it, they felt that they were successful as a team. So they'd gone from not winning the comp to saying we'll win one game, and then they got to the point where saying we were honest about how badly we're playing and that made us feel like we were succeeding. And I thought, there's a word for that, it's called repentance. Now that's, as Paul writes, there are athletes to put their heart and soul and everything they've got into some kind of a commitment. But they had to learn to break their story of their goal, their lifetime thing, into bite-sized pieces, into honest appraisals of what was happening. And what am I wearing this Guernsey for anyway? Who am I? What am I? Where am I going? Is it just about the money? Or is there something bigger that's inside of me that's going to work from the inside out? And that's what they got to, as a bunch of footballers. How much more us? It's not just a cup. It's an imperishable crown that we can start to enjoy now. We're his handiwork. Okay, so whatever the thing is that we're busy with right now, whatever stage we're at, whoever it is that we see going through a crisis that we are there for, have hope. If these guys in the football team can have an attitude that has meaning for them and makes them sense that they can prosper, and have a sense of fulfillment in who they are and what they're doing, how much more can you, as a companion of the King of Kings, with abundant life, how much more can you have that meaningful attitude and approach what's happening in your life with an incredible sense of confidence? Not in self-rescue, not in self-help. Not in commiserations about what hasn't happened, but in an absolute hope that you're on the winning team and he will make every single event a win in his time. And it's always his time if we're there, if we're present. Let me finish with this scripture, Colossians 3:23. Approach your work. I'm saying work here, and this means whether you work at a job or don't work at a job, or you retire, or you volunteer, or you care for other people, or whatever it might be that you do as a person to be able to be there, blessing someone else and being who you are. That's your work. In fact, life is a job of work. Approach your work with the same kind of, this is Colossians 3:23, with the same kind of integrity and sincerity as if you were working for Jesus. Be conscious of the fact that God will reward this faithful attitude and make his resources available to you because you are really serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, for coming into our outer journey in paths that you've set before us, and finding you on an inner journey each day. We want to break this down today, Lord. I'm not saying, well, good, thank you, I've got the message, I'll be right for the rest of my life. Lord, we're going to need this every day, sometimes 10, 20 times a day, to re-engage with the inspiration that you give us from within, the motivation to just to make it mean more, to say yes against the greatest enemy we've got, which is our own humanity that likes to wander off on its own pathways. That we can have you take us across the bridge into your world, where you live within us, where we do win every game, every event. And it may not look like it from the outside, but on the inside we say, thank you. Yes, we've been made more than conquerors in him who loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.